My friends, I want to talk with you. But I'm in an unusual situation because right now I really am not sure what I want to say. On the one hand, I want to speak quietly and talk thoughtfully about calmness, patience, and encouragement. We have been shocked. Our nation has taken a blow to the gut. Our jaws have dropped. Our hearts ache. We have seen an ugly picture so gross that it is almost unbelievable. The streets of a good city in Virginia, governed by a mayor who talked with us on State of Belief just a few shows back, has been violated. With their stated goal being to, quote, unite the right, privileged but angry citizens of a free nation attacked the city, marched on innocent residents, shouted anti-American slogans, threatened clergy praying for peace and justice, threw the language of hate at Jews, people of color, and all who wouldn't march with celebrants of neo-Nazism, Ku Klux Klan members still seeking a nation committed to white supremacy, and anti-Semitic demonstrators. Local civic rights activist Heather Heyer died in this mayhem. And instead of being shocked back to humanity by that tragedy, the racists mocked her in social media and got busy organizing ugly protests for her funeral. I found pain-laced encouragement and blood-stained hope in the words spoken and the behavior demonstrated by Susan Bro, Heather's mother. This courageous woman mixed her terrible grief with a commitment to carry on the work that stemmed from her daughter's vision of a better America. God bless this grieving mother. God bless also the hundreds of courageous Americans who took to Charlotte's streets in recent days, not with torches but with candles, singing hymns and defying the hate that engulfed their community like so much hot lava from an erupting volcano. Now, since those quieter moments, however, my search for calm, comfort, and prayers for peace has transitioned into disbelief. And my disbelief has turned to anger that penetrates into the marrow of my bones. Not so shocking, but certainly sickening, the President of the United States has taken the side of the troublemakers, saying they were no worse in character than the people in the city who sought to quell the nasty assault of the haters carrying torches and displaying their desire for atrocities against anyone who is not white. Donald Trump forfeited his presidential authority and demonstrated his stunning lack of morality by lending his support to those who disdain the diversity and justice that give greatness to our nation. It was impossible not to notice that news coverage of political leaders demand the president act more fittingly, quoted exclusively Republicans. There were so many of them that no Democratic voices were needed. Among the unforgettable moments was the sight of two African-American commentators on Fox News, one a leading GOP strategist, literally in tears over the significance of this administration's failings to so many American families and family histories. Look, for a long time now, we have known that Donald Trump does not understand the U.S. Constitution and the importance of religious freedom, and his supporters did not care. He was not disturbed by the heinous behavior he directed toward women, his bias for white Christians, his disrespect for Jews, and his apparent hatred toward Muslims. And neither were his supporters. Truth has been cheap for him. Lies have sprung from his lips several times each day. Trust in him has been erased, except for his supporters, of course. Evidently, like those bigots he is protecting and defending, he doesn't believe that all people are individuals of dignity and worth and deserve equality. Oh, I wish right now I could talk with you about the promise of democracy, a restoration of justice, the power of love, though not the kind of love the president speaks about so ignorantly, and the land of the free. But the vocabulary of democracy has been trumped by a vocabulary of hate. The words on the minds of concerned Americans today, right now, are alt-right, a term that identifies a racist who embraces the ideology of white nationalism and anti-Semitism, or the word cuck, an insult used by the alt-right to attack the masculinity of an opponent, originally other conservatives, whom the movement deemed insufficiently committed to racism and anti-Semitism. Or the words social justice warrior, SJW, used disparagingly by the right as an epithet for someone who advocates liberal causes like feminism, racial justice, or gay and transgender rights. Or the words blood and soil, a phrase from 19th century German nationalists that connotes a mystical bond between the blood of an ethnic group and the soil of their country. Now, all of these people and others pledge to follow what they call the 14 words, a pledge spawned by notorious white supremacist David Lane, quote, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children." Millions and millions of Americans were shocked when Donald Trump won the presidency. The fact that so many did not realize that his odious message would appeal to so many of our neighbors proved how ignorant we had become of people who see the world differently. Many of us were living in denial until it was too late. The exact same thing goes for the self-pitying, tiki torch-bearing Trump fans who marched on Charlottesville. They've been out there all along, but we didn't or didn't want to see them, and now we no longer have the choice. My friends, we're not now talking politics. We're talking morality. Nothing less is at stake than the conscience of our nation. Competing with each other are the historical moral values of our nation versus the hateful values of white supremacists, alt-right proponents, neo-Nazi values that thousands of Americans have given their lives to try to defeat, and actual members of the KKK. Our president has shamefully shown us that his choice is to stand in support of the values of darkness and destruction. Now it's time for the rest of us to make our choice. This imperative to take a moral stand extends to staff members in the White House and every member of Congress. They, like us, have to choose the values with which we will identify. There's no compromise here. There is no middle ground. Each of us will choose, and our choice will be evident in our actions. There were many white supremacist actions planned for this weekend across the nation. By the time you hear these words, God only knows what else will have happened. The philosopher Karl Popper famously said, "If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed, and tolerance with them." It is tragic that we must once again weigh carefully those words. But it is unthinkable what the consequences are likely to be if we don't. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone that you know, please share it with that person or persons. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and engage in the discussion. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.